Good morning again, church family.
Good morning.
Glad to be here. Thank you, guys. Said it already, it's hard to believe now. I think this is, today is 5 months, 20 weeks on this, and it's been incredible for me. I hope it's been helpful in some ways. It's a lot, but I just, as we kept going, like, how do I skip this? And so I know we won't ever do anything like this for quite a long time or ever. It's just this big and this inclusive. But hopefully I've tried to give you guys everything I can, poured almost everything I can into parenting and marriage. And like I said in the beginning, we wanted to do parenting. Said if we're going to do parenting, we got to do marriage. We're going to have to start there. Because we're not going to parent well if our marriage is a mess. So that's where we're at. I see a lot of new faces or faces I saw last night. So you're walking into the end of 20 weeks here. So it'll be a little different. So I'm getting to the end of a lot of work. So I'm going to start with one of the scriptures we've been looking at primarily. I'm going to read the whole passage because I like the whole passage, the whole context of this one. We've dealt with this quite a bit. We've talked about it, discussed it quite a bit. But I'll read right now Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, and you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, had promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. So we've talked about this pretty much in depth over all this time. Really very inclusive, in my opinion, of parenting and your relationship with Christ and what we're supposed to do with that for our children and give this to our children. But we, as we've discussed, we have to have this in our hearts and in our lives in order to give this to our children. And next, we've covered a lot of scripture, and I actually almost considered putting all the scripture we've looked at all together, but we just couldn't do it. But this, Deuteronomy 22:8, I talked about this just recently. If you build a new house, make a railing around your roof so that you don't bring blood guilt on your house if someone falls from it. The more and more I've studied and look at this, I've never cared about that verse. I've read past that verse, like, what do I need to do with this verse? It doesn't matter to me. But really, the more I look at it, it was literally saying, build a rail around your roof because people are going to be hanging out on your roof and we don't want them to get hurt. But we look at that in our houses, in our lives, we need to build rails in our families, in our households, guidelines, barriers, boundaries for our families and for our children. So the more I've looked at it, the more I've read that, I'm like, that's actually kind of impactful for me. I just keep thinking of the term build rails. I think we should be building rails in our lives. So that's been helpful for me. So overall, we started here, we're going to end here. Our goal, this would be my goal for us, hopefully you have a similar goal. As parenting, we want to raise functioning, independent followers of Christ by the time they're an adult. That would be the goal, in my opinion. So that's what we've been working at this whole time. So what I'm going to do now, we picked up last week, we briefly talked about parenting adult children. So I'm going to go through that really quickly. I'm probably going to spend, I don't know, you know me, I spend longer than I think I should, but 15 minutes or so on parenting adult children. And then we're going to hopefully discuss what I would call the highs and lows of these last 5 months. So there's going to be time to be prepared. I want you guys to discuss some things, talk about hopefully something that's been impactful for you guys, or as I was looking at this, high or low. Just to be quite honest, some of them are lows. When you look at this and be like, this, I failed in this place or in this way, that's kind of a low. Or a high point, saying this was really impactful or helpful for me. So in last week, we kind of started in the beginning, went through stages of a child's life. from the beginning all the way through to teenage and to adult children. So I'm going to pick up there real quick. I mentioned some of this quickly last week. Adult children that live at home, hopefully they're working toward an education, training, and a career. These adult children are still borrowing space in their parents' home. So when they're living with you, just because they're 18 years old, that doesn't mean they can do what they want. Just as we talk about younger children, they are borrowing this space. We have the authority. We give children too much privacy, too much authority in their own lives in some ways. And we can't be afraid to exercise that in some ways. So my point being is every 18-year-old says, I'm 18, I can do what I want. And obviously they all know everything they need to know by now. So they want to be able to do what they want. So that doesn't mean they get to do what they want just because of where they are. We've talked about guidelines, boundaries, things like that. So those rules did not change in our house. Our rules about cell phones, our rules about screens and things like that. Because you are 18, we still have the same rules. Those didn't change. And I actually had my sons pay for their cell phones. I said, you are going to pay for your cell phone, but that does not mean you get to do whatever you want with it as long as you live in our house.
Dave, if I can just add, and it's obvious, you have it, it's perfect, but this is for all of the family. Yeah. See, the problem is we get parents that are playing games, but they want their teens or their kids to live differently.
Yep.
These are the same rules everybody has.
Correct.
When you ask somebody living in your house, where are you at? Well, I think my wife should be able to ask that to me and vice versa. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
You know, there's no secret games going on here. Seems to me.
Yeah. And you know, it goes back to do as I say, not as I do. Like I described, my dad would tell me, don't drink. Go get me a beer from the fridge. So what am I supposed to do with that? Obviously, that goes a different direction. So adult children need to learn to manage more freedoms, though. Because they do need to learn to have freedoms, the responsibilities that they've earned, if they are responsible. So they also have to manage that as well. They have to manage these freedoms. Curfews, we had bedtimes. We've talked about the importance of bedtime. And I think as a child becomes older and their own adult or what have you, there's curfew as opposed to bedtime, same principles are going to apply. Still need to be in bed. Nothing good is happening after midnight. I say that continually, and I say that still continually, even to my children or my adult children. It's just the truth. There's just nothing good going on at that point. And I would argue even 11 o'clock or whatever, but these are things parents are going to have to decide on their own in their households. But it's going to be difficult, and adult children are going to be resistant to that. So I said this last week, and this was the hardest thing I had to do with my children. Skipping ahead. So I don't have a slide for it, and that's okay. So we are not going to support what I call a pagan lifestyle. And I had to teach my children this at an early age. So this was not a surprise when they turned 18. I told them this early on. I told them when you're 10, 12 years old, whatever, your mistakes aren't life-altering mistakes typically. You're going to make some mistakes. You start to get to a point in time, 13, 14, 15 years old, 16 years old, your mistakes are going to be life-altering or lifelong in some ways. You have to keep that in mind. Now, so I told my children, if you choose the path of unrighteousness, a pagan lifestyle, we will not support you. I said, it'll be the hardest thing I'll ever have to do, but you will not stay in my house and live like that. And sin has to hurt. This was me, this was our family, but I told them that early, and that would be extremely hard. Difference between sinning, every child and young adult is going to sin. Sin is one thing. And repentance and working and what have you, we're going to work through that. But when there's a difference between sinning and choosing that lifestyle and that unrighteous, unrepentant lifestyle. Parents, I think we cannot make our children comfortable if they're going to do that. And that's just my opinion, but you have to consider that. And here's where all this comes from. As you guys know, my wife and I, we've worked with young adults now for about 5 or 6 years. And everything from this point now, we work with young adults. Some are in this room, some are in other churches, some are in other circles. So don't think this is specific. This is not being aimed at anyone specifically or what have you, so don't get weird about it. Everything I kind of say from this point on is from this background. Okay, so this is what we deal with. This is what we see on a daily basis or on our time working with young adults. So I believe that trying to hold a child back and hold them at home can be harmful at a certain age. Now, this is might ruffle some feathers, and this is different for every family and every person. But what I see for many young adults, not all, their decisions have to face some consequences. They have to feel pain for sin. And they have to learn what it means to rely on God. So I see, and we are parents, my wife and I. Like, I really want to swoop in and help my kids, and I want them to do well, and I want to protect them. And when they're young, we protect them from the world, basically. Don't go out on the street. Don't touch that. It's hot. Stay here. Hold my hand when they're a child. When they're an adult, we have to be preparing them and equipping them to live in the world, not protect them from the world. So they have to learn what it means to rely on God. And in my opinion, what I've seen primarily, not all inclusively, a young adult doesn't learn to rely on God when they come home to their safe, cozy bedroom, their parents' house, a stocked-up fridge, all the bills are paid, and there's a safety net from whatever goes wrong. There's just a part for most people that you do not experience growth under some of these situations at a certain age. So then I look at, you know, what is Scripture telling us? And to be honest, I don't see a lot of specific information about parenting young adults in Scripture. We have biblical principles and a biblical worldview. I see a lot of instances of poor fathers, bad parenting. I see a lot of that. I see Eli, David, Solomon. So I see a lot of information about poor parenting, but I don't see a lot that's telling us exactly how we handle adult children and parent and what have you. We have children that need to honor their father and mother, many things like that. So what I'm doing here from now, everything I'm going to say and teach right now, my desire has come from a biblical worldview. Take our entire scope of what we do with Scripture and how we apply it to our lives, and what do we do as we're parents. So I look at, this was great yesterday, so I'm going to use Aloha, for example. This was wonderful. Beautiful video last night. So Aloha, this information was in the video. Saved at 6 years old. Beautiful thing. And we all know, most everybody in this room knows her. Followed the Lord and now married a man who's following the Lord. It's beautiful. And if I could give that to every young person, I would do anything to give that to a young person. Unfortunately, we can't do that, and in my opinion, that is not the normal situation that I see anymore. Now, parents, be careful, because we can make a child say anything you want at 6 years old. That's a different story, so be careful there as well. So I think any of us could get a six-year-old to say anything we want. That's not what I'm saying. But to actually be saved, have that relationship, and be just a follower of Christ at that young age, that's a beautiful thing. But I don't see that a lot, in my opinion. I see a lot of young adults that are finding their way and learning their relationship with Christ along that way. So so from there, what I say is, parents, we have to allow room for God to work in the child's heart. Parents, if we're taking up all that space, God's not going to work in your young adult's life. They have to develop their relationship with Christ. And a lot of times I see, and in my own life and things like that, they're relying on mom and dad and not God. They have their parents' faith, but they don't have their own faith. There's a difference. Child can grow up in the church, go to every church service, grow up and even be a young adult. That doesn't mean they have their relationship with Christ until it's theirs. And what I see a lot, not all, I see a lot of the times these young adults have to face some life, they have to face some hardships before this actually becomes their own relationship with God. And unfortunately, that's hard for us as parents, because we've experienced it, my wife and I experienced it. It's so easy for us just to want to make them have our faith. I want you to do this, and I want to protect you from all these things. I know in my life, and in my kids' lives, until I face this on my own, until I faced life without my parents' safety net, I didn't have my relationship with Christ. I had their faith and their relationship with Christ. So take that for whatever you want to do with that. We can't do it for our children. We can't save our children. I wish we could. And there has to be the before Christ and the after Christ. I think Pastor Warren taught on this last week. there has to be that. It has to be before and an after. So unfortunately, what I say is many young adults don't get this while they're at home, or at least when they're at home, they have to face some life, some situations. I've seen some young adults, they've had to get out into the real workforce and see, holy cow, there's temptations, there's problems, there's people out there, until they realize, what is my relationship with Christ? Not just what my parents have taught me, what I've seen my whole life in church and what have you. You know, and I say the next part here, I contemplate it back and forth. I mean, this is nothing, I'm not upset with anybody at all. I use this for our own benefit. I mean, we were shamed when my son left home. When Brennan left home, I mean, people like literally shamed us. And we got statements like, why are you letting him do that? And first of all, it's not my choice. Or some people think we told him he had to go. We didn't tell him he had to go. And our advice was, at first I was like, well, are you sure? So, but I don't know, what was he, 20, 21? So it wasn't our decision. We didn't kick him out. But here's the truth of the matter. As I analyzed it, even as he did that, came to us and talked about that, and then we helped him figure out the path and talked to him about budgeting and money and things like that. I think we need to address down the road later too. As I analyzed it, he finished his education. He had a good job, a career. He's already on his career path. He had no debt. He had savings. We've instilled all that we could for him at that age by that time. He was his own man at that time. Whatever we could guide him and give him, we had already, that the window had mostly closed for our influence in his life. I wish I could have had more time to do better, but that window had closed. So then I look at it and said, what is staying at home for him going to do? And all it is going to do is slow his growth. Why should he stay in our house longer? So we can prevent him from facing challenges, so we can save him from struggling. And here's the thing, I know he hates being pointed out or talked about or talked to, but ask him when his faith became real. You know, he had to go out on his own. He had to face some things. He had to make some mistakes. And then he formed his relationship with Christ at that point. Not when it was under our authority and our ways and telling him what he should be doing. So take that for what it is. I think it's just hard. I see a lot of things going differently in lives and things like that. And I think it's just important to talk about and to consider, because honestly, it's just what I learned from doing it and going along the path. But I do tell you this, we cannot keep our kids comfortable in sin, enable it, and just give them a comfortable lifestyle to do wrong as well. So going on from that section, then you have adult children that are on their own. So this is a different situation now. So now the child has left the home, the child is on their own. Parents, I'm sorry, you don't have authority in that children's life at this stage. You just don't have that authority.
Dave, I disagree. My daughter listens.
All the time, right?
She doesn't pay attention.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard.
That's a scary thing, though. Yeah. There's a level of fear here.
Yeah.
You know, because you realize, wow.
Yeah. And man, I tell you, I want to tell both my adult children, I want to tell them, like, look, do it this way. Yeah. And I could. I could just flex and say, hey, do this. I could make them feel guilty. I could say you have to do this or else. But that's not going to help. That's not our job anymore. Ephesians 5:31, a man shall leave his father and mother. I mean, it's just what has to happen. And parents, we have to be okay with it. We have the time we have with them, and we are going to make mistakes and have problems, and we have to live with it. So we can have influence. We can give advice. But after that, we cannot exercise authority over our adult children. They need to make their own decisions. They need to have their own relationships. They have to make their mistakes. I do think, as parents, we still call sin, sin. We don't pretend that it's not, so we don't turn our head the other way. If you guys remember something I've enjoyed learning in this whole series, is the opposite of dysfunction. 180 from dysfunction is still dysfunction. So 180 in either direction is going to still be dysfunction. And then do not enable bad behavior or bad decisions. We've talked about all that in the dysfunction junction, as I love calling it, if I always remember it. We can't enable this stuff either. So I think we also enable our adult children that are on their own in many bad ways as well. And we have to allow them to fail. It's hard as parents, and I understand that, but we have to allow them to fail. We can't enable these things. And then we cannot try to manage their behavior or manage their decisions. And I know we want to. Offer advice when we're asked, and that's about it. And they have to take it or leave it. Sometimes my wife and I will say, hey, do you want some advice? And typically they're not going to say no. They kind of feel obligated to say okay. But after that, we can give some advice, and that's it. And I think it's hard. So, and then I think what I have after that too is, this is for the young people as well. Honor father and mother doesn't mean obey father and mother as adults. We will show them honor. We honor our parents. We honor our family. Scripture tells you to honor your father and mother, but that does not mean as an adult, that an independent adult, you have to obey them. And I would caution you, most people in this room, they probably have good intentions for you. So take their advice and things like that, but you have to be your own person. You have to make your decisions, and you have to have, unfortunately, it has to be a separation between you and your parents when you're an adult. Obviously, we still love our parents. We still have a relationship with our parents. I just know in my life, it has been hard to transition from a parent to having an adult that has to do their own things. And I think we're blessed. Like, I love my adult children. I think we have good relationships. I've made a lot of mistakes along the way that we've talked about. I wish I could do things differently early on. That's part of my whole goal here, is to point out some of these problems, some of these dysfunctions, the things that we were trying to figure out as parents while our children were born. We were trying to figure out our relationship with Christ, who we were as Christians. And this brings me back to Aloha and Kavalas. It's like, it's such a beautiful thing, and I'm so happy for you guys, because if you have this Christ-centered home early on, your children are going to do so much better. Amen. You have to have that in your home with you and your spouse, and have Christ as the center, and have this godly household. Your children are going to do so much better. And that's a wonderful thing. And I just wish I could give that to everybody.
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one thing that, that you're saying is that, giving advice to our kids. But as your kids are growing up, as you're giving them the example of what do you do when you have to make a decision, right? Who do you go to for counsel? The Bible talks about in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. I knew where my parents' limitations were, right? So my dad demonstrated repeatedly that if there was a car issue, I didn't go to him. But also, he knew his own limitations. So then that allowed me, we had this conversation. When I need advice on cars, if you give me advice, I follow it, because that was the example that my parents said, know your own limitations. And know who to go to. We are blessed with a church full of people with expertise. And I think some of that is also, as parents, humbling ourselves to be able to say, I don't know what to tell you in this situation. Let's seek out other godly counsel and go to them as well. Because it's not, you're not going to just seek advice from your parents. I know this is parenting, but some of parenting is going, we have a community. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go talk to your auntie and your uncle over here, because they've actually lived particularly that path, or they know that career, or about cars.
Absolutely, to be honest, my kids don't want to hear a lot of things from me, unfortunately. I still do my best, but I encourage them to seek other other help and other counsel from our church and from our from our community. Because sometimes they look at me like, yeah, whatever, Dad. And even still. And it's hard early on, because even as younger children, that's what, they're like, yeah, whatever, Dad. But that doesn't mean I stopped. I didn't do everything well, but I didn't stop. I said, I know you don't want to hear these things. I know you don't like doing this, but this is what I have to do as a father.
Can we get a t-shirt that says that?
What did it say?
Yeah, whatever, Dad.
Yeah, pretty much. And I do want to back up one second, because one thing I forgot to mention about marriages, and just made me think of this last night, is just slightly unrelated. It's kind of an aside, but I haven't been in a part of a lot of marriages, around a lot of weddings, unfortunately. But it's beautiful when you have two followers of Christ coming together in an intentional manner, and in mostly the right way. Nobody's perfect. But you have them come together in that way, and they were intentional about their relationships and what they did and how they came together with the goal of serving Christ. It's such a beautiful thing and such a celebration. And it just made me think of, like, a lot of weddings that I have seen or been around. It's like, when there was no intentionality, you've already lived together, you already slept together, what's the celebration? Like, there's not a new celebration. There's not a new union. There's not a new life coming about. And it's like, it's so wonderful to experience and to celebrate, you know, godly marriages. And I've just, like, the last two that I've been to now just made me really realize that. Like, what a beautiful thing when it's intentional and it's with God, with God in the center, and that desire. It's just a beautiful thing, and that's worthy of celebrating. And it's like, I think about the other ways, and it's like, what are we celebrating? It's just harder to be like, yay, celebration, because it's just not really, not God's design initially. It doesn't mean that no good can come of that, or that we don't want to help and want these people to do well. But it's just something that I just came across in the last couple weddings that I've been a part of, so I want to share it. That's different. So now, I think pretty much at this point, I'm going to finish up with where I'm at. I've talked enough about adult children now. So literally, I want to spend the rest of this time with some discussion from you guys. What's our highs and lows? I've been up here for 5 months. Like I said, I poured everything I could into parenting and marriage. So I hope you guys can at least say, you know, help everyone in here with what's been helpful for you guys, what's been impactful, what's been changing. I've had mostly good feedback from everybody that's come up to me, even older people that are just saying, like, it's great even at an older age to rethink some of these things or what have you. It's changed my perspectives on a lot of things, and I've learned so much from being up here and doing it. So I am going to miss it. Like I said last week, it becomes a part of your life doing this that many times. So I have some of my notes and some of my ideas, but I don't want to, I want you guys to tell me in the last 5 months, what do you guys think? What have you heard? What have you liked? Maybe you didn't agree with some things, but I'd like to hear from you guys. Go ahead.
I think, you know, what we just finished talking about, raising and getting your adult children launched and moving forward. But to do that, most of the time, you need to start at the very beginning. There is a theme that goes right through all of this, and that's living a life that is honoring to God. That's with the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us. If, hopefully, before you get married, maybe you have other issues going on, but you come to that point someplace where God becomes yours, and you take ownership of your faith, and then you share that with your family, and you move forward. It just, that's the way it's supposed to flow, and I think you showed that very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I appreciate that feedback, and it's that timeline, in my opinion. I put that timeline out there. It's like, where are you on your timeline? Where are your children on your timeline?
And it depends on where you, whichever individual is looking at this, when do they trust Christ? Mm-hmm. And when, you know, even when you trust Christ, yes, you know you're saved, but God's still molding you. He's still molding me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to keep those things in mind too. But it's what God, asking God to do the things that He wants in us, in our children, in our families, and in your extended families.
Mm-hmm.
Us, we got now in-laws, we got grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So all of that still goes back to, for me, what God is trying to accomplish in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it.
Sir, David, like the phenomenal verses. So you've given a lot of verses for the past 5 months. Deuteronomy 6:7, Deuteronomy 22, Ephesians 6:1, Proverbs 4:6. Those verses help me out. And I think it goes back to the concept of, again, building the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Set the boundaries for the kids. I think for me, because Jude and I take care of the teens, it's not just going to be for the kids, but as a church family, let's go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed it in the other class that you started in the past work. I think we have to be intentional. Because I don't know, everybody's busy, everybody's working now.
Mm-hmm.
So like sometimes you tell me, hey, Julia, let's do this. So let's go beyond that as adults, because yes, we have teens, and we have young adults that have issues as well. So that's where we come in, where we have experience. Do would like them to fail, so hey, if I can tell you before you fail, you mm-hmm. can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about drug and alcohol addiction and stuff like that. Way beforehand, let's talk about pornography before that happens.
Oh, I got it.
So be intentional, not just for kids, but for the other folks as well, as a church family.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's been my biggest goal. And, you know, my wife and I went through life, and we went down wrong paths, and we bear scars from that. And I tell these young people, like, you don't have to go down there and get these scars and these injuries and then come back if you come back. And you're no guarantee to come back. I think young people, we don't look at life as finite, and we think there's guarantees, and we think we'll get to it later. And my goal is just, you don't have to go. I'm like, I tell my kids, like, I see the path you're looking at. I've been down there, and I'm telling you what's down there. And my goal is that you don't have these scars. You don't have to go through these things. And I've told young people multiple times, like, if Michael Jordan was standing here telling you how to succeed in basketball, would you listen? It's like, we're trying to give you the wisdom to succeed, you know, and to help you do well. And I think it's something we need to do as a church. Completely. Everybody should be working on that as a community with these young people, for sure. I think it would help our young adults and teens greatly. Yeah. Love it. What else? Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say that, like, I had done the pastor, you know, child rearing class back when my children were very small,
mm-hmm.
and I tried to do the bedtime, have a specific time where teaching my children to be faithful, and exposing them to scripture almost every night.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, oh, wow, your kids, they know their Bible verses so well. But part of it is, I did what you're suggesting. Like, I gave this, I mean, they've heard the scripture, so of course they should know it, you know? But another thing, as far as, you know, lows or whatever, is I like the challenge of, you ask your children to have these boundaries, but are you doing it? Even like the go to bed, you know, you give them a bedtime, but do you have a bedtime?
Mm-hmm.
You say, we don't want too much screen time for you, but do you limit your screen time? So that's two of the big things that I got out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's been a big thing, is we have to do it for ourselves. I think part of the reason our children are going to struggle is because we're going to struggle. They're going to struggle where we struggle. If you guys remember, what you do in moderation, your children are going to do in excess. So what that means is, what you do, you may not have a big issue with something, or what you do somewhat, they're going to see and do possibly more. That can be a lot of negative things. That could be alcohol, screen time, things like that. I would hope that it would be something like your relationship to Christ and your approach to church could be the same way. What you do, hopefully they will do in excess. So yeah, thank you. What else? Go ahead. Like to share an example?
Okay.
Okay.
You know, when she sees things in books, where she sees two mommies and she sees two daddies,
mm-hmm.
and she asks weird questions like, well, how did they have a kid? Or things like that.
Yep. Unfortunately, because I think a lot of children are going to learn these things from Google,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to ask mom and dad, so they're going to Google these things, and that's how they end up in the wrong paths of pornography, sex, you know, all these kind of topics. Is if we don't have the relationship with our children, they're going to Google it, and they're not always going to ask us. And even don't wait for them to ask you every time. You're going to have to go to them, because even the best of young people aren't always going to go to mom and dad. And I give the example, you know, everybody knows here my feeling about sexual morality and pornography and my, you know, what I try to do for that for young people. Most I've said it many times now, I think the most, the average is around 10 or 11 for the a young boy to be exposed to pornography. Most of those young boys can't go to mom and dad and say, hey, I saw this, what should I do? They're just, they're not going to do it. And we need to be able to talk to them and have that conversation with them before, not wait for them to come to you for it. I think that's huge. All right, thank you. Yeah.
I was gonna share that what I read back from here and what I learned earlier on from a book that the ladies read, I think some years back. Part of it was like allowing your children to make mistakes so that you can correct them early on. I was so happy and so thankful that I learned that lesson early on when they were so young. And it has always been my prayer that the Lord exposes their mistakes to me so I can correct. And I know every teacher in this school knows that. I've told them, if my child does anything, please do not hide it. Tell me, because it's an extension of my name. So I that it can be exposed, and we can pray about it, and we can course correct. And that also allows you not to be a helicopter parent, like you said, to allow them to be out there and challenge their faith, right, and their relationship with Christ, and how they can rely on God's help and not just church. I think that when we see a child who in a situation, it's not right for us to just sit back and pass judgment. We need to be able to accept that responsibility that if this child is in this church, it's my child. Step in and do something. I really, I don't know, maybe it would not be the best idea to spend time talking about it, but to confront that child in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And be able to say, okay, this is what I see. What do you think?
Right.
And how do you want to fix this? Or how do you think that's correct? And you as an adult will be able to now provide good insight or counseling.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, we have to have relationships already. We have to have that culture. We have to have those relationships. Because if I've never talked to Billy over here, and now I see him doing something wrong, and I just come up to Billy and try to correct him, well, that's of no use. So we have to have these relationships and this culture already with the young people. And I think that's huge. And Amy brought this up before. It kind of made me think about it more. It's just about teachers and students and kids. It's like, let your child fail now.
Yes.
And it's better to do that now. And if, like I said a week or two ago, if your child doesn't do their homework or they don't do the project, they get a bad grade. Mom and dad can't go do the project for them, or mom and dad can't go to the teacher and be like, hey, what is my kid going to do? Help my kid do better. Give my kid another option. Let them fail and let them learn that, because that's what's going to happen in real life. And also parents, parent-teacher relationships. I mean, I told my kids, every child ever has said the teacher's picking on me, or the teacher doesn't like me, or it's not fair. I told my kid, the teacher is not picking on you. Don't come to me with that. Okay? And even if the teacher doesn't like you, that it might happen because life is unfair. That's not the excuse. I'm not going to come and help you. Okay? There are instances of teachers that, and hey, both my sons have had bad teachers. One of them in college, bad teacher that singled, had an agenda, had a, I don't know what you want to call it, whatever their, what's that? And she didn't like certain topics. And so I told, look, man, it's unfair. Pick your battle, dude. Just pass the class. And of course, he picks a topic for an essay on gun control or something. And you know, it's going to make her mad. Like, dude, just get through the class. You know what I mean? It's not fair. It's not a battle. We're going to fight. It's one of those classes that aren't even related to what you're doing. It's just one of the requirements. Just pass the class and get it done. But that's stuff you do got to learn, because it is unfair. That happens, but that doesn't mean we got to fix it or whatever. You're going to deal. Adults are going to deal with unfair situations. Children need to learn that early on. So don't, parents, don't go to the teacher and say, you're picking on my kid and my kid didn't do that or whatever. I told my kids, I'm going to be on the teacher's side unless there's just something totally wrong. Like, don't tell me that she's picking on you or he's picking on you or what have you. And teachers in the room, I know my wife did it. The things you guys experience is crazy, but it's really poor parenting to lash out at the teacher and show your child that you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and the mom and dad are going to go to the authority and try to work it out for you and make you not have to do what you were supposed to do. I don't understand. Anyway, I can go on for that for a while, but that's all right. What else? Yeah.
I have two things, like, for me, as, like, teachers always, like, we have learned this before when the first time we got here, and you kind of brought it up about raising our childhood, you know, and us, yeah, as a Filipino, you know, we grew up in the Philippines, and we discussed it last Sunday, right, how when we grow up, when we got scolding or reprimanded, we cannot look our parents in the eye because that is very disrespectful. But here, we have to look at me, you need to look at me. So, yeah, there are so many things that, you know, we have to be reminded of ourselves that we are not in the Philippines yet. We don't raise our childhood. And, but there are also some, as I said, you know, there's always that we can keep the good things in our culture that we, you know, we're brought up with, like being respectful with old, like older people, like that's really a non-negotiable. But then again, like, and the enmeshment, it's so big on us, shame, you know, so those are the things that we have to drop down. You have to choose, you have to be intentional to drop down, and also like talking to or talking at your kids. Cliff has to remind him all the time because, you know, he's always gone and I have to be the father and mother. Our daughter, when she talks, for me it's talking back. For me it's not respectful because we cannot talk back to our parents, even though they're wrong. You know what, that's how we grow up with. But so he always reminds me, you have to be grateful that our daughter knows how to reason out.
Right, and discuss.
And
yeah. Can,
yeah, discuss. And so I have to really be intentional about accepting that. And there are many times that we have to apologize to our daughter when she's even not an adult, like how we raised her during that time. And also another thing is, us parents, we were busy. You were always busy, especially those parents who are working. There's this big tendency, or it's what we do. We outsource our responsibility to the church, to the school, to the pastor, and whatever happens to their kids, it's the pastor's fault because of what the pastor says, or it's the church's fault, or it's the school's fault, or it's the teacher's fault. Because we outsource our responsibilities. So be an adult parent. Be a responsible parent in order for you to be to raise a responsible and independent and God-fearing kids.
Yeah, and part in the beginning of that was just the definition of conservative. What Pastor Warren's taught years ago is conservative. Conserve, keep what was good and maintain the good things, and don't maintain and keep the bad things. Move on. Identify. We have to identify, and that's the hardest part because we don't even identify. We don't know what's wrong. We have to identify it, then we can change it. So that's huge. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
So I wasn't here, obviously, for most of this, but Hawks and Dave did our premarital counseling, so a lot of this happened hand-in-hand, and I didn't really realize, even if you don't have a child, like, child rearing and marriage going hand-in-hand because you were a child when you were raised, and just how they were showing, however they were telling us, you really need to reflect on how you're raised and how your parents communicated with each other, because how they had arguments might be how you have arguments with your spouse, and that's not how they respond to things. And then always what I go back to is what Pastor has been talking about marriages and how it can, how you can just see it destroy families and go generation to generation, and how it's just really something to bring to your family and to acknowledge just kind of where you came from and how to take what you were raised with that you find was good, but also realize my parents weren't perfect and they didn't do everything right, or they might have done something to me, but not done something to me, but just not bring that to your marriage, or at least acknowledge it, so you can see where certain things are coming from.
Right, yeah, and it's so important because we have to be able to reflect and understand. We have to be able to identify it, because otherwise it feels like home. It's just natural. You don't understand what you were raising. I mean, you can encounter children that are raised in disasters, but they think it's normal. Mm-hmm. It's normal, and it's just not. And but the child doesn't realize that. And if you just continue that as you grow into an adult, that's just normal. It's not. Then you bring that into your marriage, and then you bring it into your parenting. And I know that's what I did until it took me too long, in my upper 20s or 30s, to realize this is what's going on. So my desire is hopefully people don't have to be in their 20s and 30s and raising children as they're figuring that out.
Dave, I have one comment last, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It's for your future. We need to develop within us something simple for children. I've heard my daughter say it recently. Children are no longer active.
Mm-hmm.
So this concept, and it's, you won't be able to do it by yourself because you're a man, frankly. Mm-hmm. You've got to have women involved. Where kids learn to play and not be attached to a screen.
Yeah.
And it develops, can I say this, because we have adults in this room that have no activities, mm-hmm. where they have an active life, an interesting life outside of a stupid phone.
Mm-hmm.
But that needs to be developed by women, because women are better at understanding little kids.
Mm-hmm.
But Amy was saying the other day, they're out playing soccer, and I'm like, you drive through neighborhoods, you don't see anybody anywhere.
I know.
They're in playing on their screens, and their parents are in front of the television.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you need to develop that. That's very important for our church.
Yeah.
And our families.
Yeah, you have to, and it's the families. Shoot, my wife locked our kids out of the house. It's a summer day.
I played with them.
You also, we also, yes, you did. You said, get out of the house, play outside. You're not coming back inside.
Next session's on marital.
Tell the truth, she locked them out of the house. Said you are out of the house. Anders, did she lock you out of the house?
Oh. Don't go down that road.
It's been long.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I can say a counterpart to that, what I'm noticing in a lot of my friends is almost the opposite with team sports, and no one's home together. The families mm-hmm. are, they have activities.
Yes. But what he's talking about, my kids were at the neighbor's play.
Right, soccer. Exactly.
But so it's, there's not communities, and some of that mm-hmm. is we get in our own homes as the adults, so we don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
My kids go outside and play because the guy across the street, we were blessed, right? So we prayed when this house went up for sale. Christians bought it, and they have a kid who's a year older than my son, and they have the same parenting philosophy. Kick the kid outside.
Mm-hmm.
You don't lock the door.
Yeah.
But my kids literally look out the window and go, Caleb's outside. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's, you know, I mean, yes,
yeah,
as a church,
we're talking about something different.
Oh, no,
here.
No, but,
yeah,
but it's
100%.
People say it's okay because I'm doing
They're overscheduled, and it's always prescribed. There's no imagination, and there's nothing. Kids have lost the ability to just play, because even if they're in sports, there's still an adult there telling them what to do. So then we get to recess, and kids don't know what to do and devolve to fighting immediately.
Right. Yeah. As a culture, you have to build a home first, too, for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap it up here. A couple of things I did want to bring up. I spent more time than I thought on dating. Dating is important. So you have young people. Dating, there's a book called Outdated. Changed my perspective on it. I had it all wrong. I think our culture has it completely wrong. I made a statement last week. You let your 10 or 12-year-old start dating. They're going to lead to sexual immorality. They're going to premarital sex, things like that. I don't mean immediately. I'm not saying they're going to go out on a date and have sex. But think about when they're the time for them to be married. If they start dating at 10, 12, even 14, say you're great, they have to wait until 16. They're going to navigate 6, 7, 8 years of dating with those temptations, with those hormones, with those feelings. They're not. That's not what dating's for. When you're in a position to be married is when they should be considering dating. I spend enough time on that. But if you guys have questions on that, read the book, Outdated. It'll really help. Last thing I want to bring up, someone else brought this up to me too, is impactful. Your approach to church. If you have an approach to church that it's just if we get to it or when we do it, if we have better things to do, we do that, your child is absolutely not going to have a solid relationship with God. They're not going to have the right approach to church. And then you're going to wonder why when they grow up they want nothing to do with Christianity if you had this approach to church yourself. And some of it's innocuous. We, at an older age, we wanted to go camping. We started camping quite a bit. We love God. We love the Lord. It did not inhibit my relationship with Christ. But I realized, wait a minute, our children are seeing us miss church too much over camping, and that they do not have my faith, they do not have my relationship, and they are seeing us that looks like church is not important.
And Dave, on that part, when you do go out to on vacation, always find a church.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some, now we've got churches that expect us to come and be part of their church when we're there.
Yeah.
And we've got relationships down there.
And it's great to experience other churches anyway.
Right. Yes.
So, great. Well, that's pretty late. I love it. Thank you, everybody, for doing this. And everybody, so many faithful people that have been here for this whole time. I've loved it. But you guys are done with me now. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you just for another beautiful Sunday, Lord. I love every Sunday we can be here. It's just a blessing and an honor. I just thank you for this church and these people here. I just pray for the parents, the children, aunts, uncles, grandparents, everybody, Lord, that we can just learn from you and have a house centered on you, Lord, that we can raise children to know and to love you and to serve you. I just pray for your blessings and guidance, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.